This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Major development. Senator Lindsey Graham's resolution condemning the House of Representatives impeachment probe, now joined by the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so we've got a very big development coming up. I think the most significant development in the last couple of days, actually, and that is that in a Senate resolution that is going to be a resolution condemning the House impeachment inquiry, especially the process in which they've engaged it. We've been attacking that process for a number of days here because I look at the constitutional issues here, and it's breathtaking in scope. I'm not the only one that thinks that because Lindsey Graham thinks that, who's chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and now Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader, is also adding his name to this resolution. So we'll actually be introduced by the Majority Leader and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. If there was an impeachment proceeding that actually was a trial in the Senate, they would be the two senior senators involved in it. I don't think it gets to that stage. But the point is, this process is so tainted. And now, on top of all of this, there is an allegation again that there is a third act of bias on the so-called whistleblower. So all of that's breaking today.
Whistleblower, which has been at the center now, this whistleblower has kind of disappeared. Remember, Adam Schiff now is getting a lot of pushback from major congressional Democrats in the House and Senate because at first, you know, he wanted to bring this whistleblower at least to testify behind closed doors. He reversed course on that when he was caught lying about his staff's contact with the whistleblower and the political bias that the IG for the intelligence community wrote about. But now Catherine Herridge has uncovered. We already knew that there were two bias issues. One, that the whistleblower is a registered Democrat. Okay, that's part one. Part two was that they had a working history with a senior Democrat. People believe that to be Vice President Biden because Ukraine was in his purview as vice president. Now there is a third. Right now it's an unreported reason by Fox News. I have a feeling that Catherine Herridge will have this by the end of the day or end of the week. But yet another reason why they believe this may be a tainted partisan whistleblower. Right. I think, in my opinion, it's a deep state actor recruited by Schiff and his staff to file what is a whistleblower complaint by someone who is not an actual, you know, true whistleblower, the truest sense of the term.
So the we already know that the whistleblower, Andy, did not check off the box on the form that said, I have contacted members of Congress or who I've contacted. That was left out. We also know that Adam Schiff himself said he had not talked to nor his staff spoken with the whistleblower. That we know is also not true. That was false.
Right.
Now, we know the two existing elements of bias. Now we have a third element of bias. Besides the fact that this is based on hearsay evidence, and of course the transcript has been released. What does this tell you?
This tells me that this is a deep state actor somewhere embedded in the government, someone who's a holdover from Democratic administrations, who's out to get the president, and who has decided that they were going to come forward in the surreptitious means to try to cast themselves as a whistleblower to do this. I at first, Jay, honestly thought there's no whistleblower here, certainly in the true sense of the word, and I'm beginning to wonder whether there is a whistleblower, even if you were to put him in the defined sense of the term. I think this is concocted by the Democrats.
This is a whistleblower predominantly based on hearsay. So then,
right,
as we go to break, where do you see it right now, this newest wrinkle?
Very significant deal, Jay, that Leader McConnell has signed onto this Graham resolution, because remember, the Senate process is based on the House process, and if the leader in the Senate is saying that the House process was flawed, Jay, I think that gives you an indication of where he'd be inclined to take it.
I think that's right. Hey, folks, on Facebook and Periscope, let me tell you what, we take a break, of course, on radio for a commercial to run, but on Facebook and Periscope, we've got some more news we want to share with you. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share this information with your friends right now. We've got some more information we're going to get to right now. So, again, stay with us. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 1-800-684-3110 is just commenting in the break. In the breaks, if you're on Facebook and Periscope or social media applications, we talk to the break. The problem is I don't look at the Jordan just did it. I did it, too. You don't look at the time clock, and then we go live. So it was a half sentence. So I want Jordan to go back for his entire sentence, because if you were on Facebook, you only got about three quarters of it. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Well, one of the other problems with the whistleblowers complaint from very early on, this is before the partisan stuff came out, this is before the Adam Schiff contact came out, and the lie from Adam Schiff, was that the whistleblower initially, it was reported in their complaint, Mark, that they only had secondhand information, a.k.a. hearsay. But then there was another report that they marked both boxes, that they had firsthand and secondhand information, which doesn't make a lot of sense either. Now we know that the whistleblower did not check the box, indicating that he or she, though most people have identified this as a he, had contact with Congress or a congressional committee before filing the complaint. And we know that is some box that should have been checked, because the whistleblower, as confirmed by Adam Schiff after he was caught in a lie with four Pinocchios from the Washington Post, first denying it, then having to say yes, his staff was briefed by the whistleblower, and he did have some knowledge of what would be in the whistleblower's complaint. Yep. And I believe that they, at a minimum, took this so-called whistleblower, suggested a law firm to help them write the complaint, and that's based off reading the complaint. So I'm not saying Adam Schiff drafted it himself or his staff did, but I think they probably helped get them to the right kind of lawyers because of the terminology like inter alia. It just flashes to me every time I read that and I see that, and it's like, why is that there from someone who is not a lawyer?
Yeah, well, I raised that issue. So, but I want to go back also, and again, share this with your friends on Facebook and Periscope. If you want to call us, 800-684-3110. So I want you to understand what's going on in this. So we now have another issue of bias that has been raised. We don't know the context of it yet, but it's significant enough that it's starting to make the round, so to speak. Then you have an aspect which I think is important for people to understand. There's an aspect of this that is also significant, and that is the resolution that may be introduced, or at least be made public today, but could be introduced as early as, I guess, tomorrow or the next. It could even come, I guess, today. This resolution condemning what the House has done with the lack of due process. Harry, I ask from a policy standpoint, I keep going back to this fundamental policy issue here, and that is you're setting a precedent for not just this president, but for future offices of the president and other future occupants of that office. And this is a very dangerous precedent being set.
Yes, I think you're absolutely correct. So the Democrats are basically in headlong pursuit of power by any means necessary. And again, as I said earlier, they actually commenced this objective, this investigation, in 2016. So the genesis of the current impeachment inquiry began before President Trump was indeed elected. So they've tried various bases for an impeachment. You had James Comey, who basically leaked documents in order to fuel the appointment of a special counsel. You had Robert Mueller, who basically demonstrated publicly that he couldn't even read in public his own report. So that effort failed. So now you have a whistleblower, and apparently a whistleblower that is tainted, A, by bias, and secondarily, the whistleblower complaint is tainted by virtue of the fact that Adam Schiff had prior contact with this whistleblower. And now Adam Schiff refuses to hold public hearings with respect to other alleged witnesses, many of whom have no direct evidence with respect to the allegations.
Yeah, let me play, because I always like to point to the evidence here. So we talk about Adam Schiff saying he didn't. He said he did not speak to the witness, but he actually did. This is Adam Schiff's own words with a question. Listen to number 20.
Do you regret saying that we, the committee, weren't in touch with the whistleblower?
I should have been much more clear, and I said so the minute it was brought to my attention, that I was referring to the fact that when the whistleblower filed the complaint, we had not heard from the whistleblower. We wanted to bring the whistleblower in at that time. But I should have been much more clear about that.
I'm listening to what he just said and saying to myself, I keep saying this, I'm still not clear. Did you talk to the whistleblower? Did your staff talk to the whistleblower? You said you didn't, did they? It's not that complicated. But I think there's a lot more to this than meeting the eye.
He got four Pinocchios for it, though. He got the highest level of lying rating from the Washington Post, not a conservative news outlet, a liberal news outlet. And he got the highest lie ranking for Pinocchios after he made that statement that we have not spoken directly with the whistleblower, we would like to, and then came back and corrected that and said his staff did, and he was briefed on some of what the whistleblower did. It wasn't clear if Adam Schiff actually met the whistleblower directly, but it is our understanding. One of Schiff's staff is reported saying, I didn't tell the chairman who the whistleblower was, but you know what? I tweeted this out on Twitter last night. Once Adam Schiff lied, everything else they say, like the lawyer said they had nothing to do with drafting the complaint.
That's the fruit of the poisonous tree, right?
Everything is a lie now. Yeah. I assume it's all a lie because Adam Schiff began it all with a lie. When it all starts with a lie, it's a house of cards that crumbles.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the fruit of the poison. It's kind of like the fruit of the poisonous tree.
Look, the important thing here, and I'm a textualist and an originalist and a scholar who looks at the text. The important thing here is not what some whistleblower said, who was obviously coached and put in the position to go in with some law firm to write this letter. And Jordan is right. You don't use legalese terms unless you're a lawyer in here. The important thing is, what did the president say in the phone conversation? Is that an impeachable offense? The answer is certainly not. He said, and the president of Ukraine said, I was not pressure, I was not push. He said that, so there was no such thing. He didn't do it. So why don't we just forget what this stupid whistleblower thing says and just get to the text?
Well, I do want to play what Adam Schiff said, though, when he first started this whole thing about not speaking. This one he's very clear on. He's not so clear on the fact that he had to correct it, but let me tell you what he initially said. Listen to 22.
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to.
Poor Pinocchios. All right, that's all I have to say on that. All right, let's go to caller number two. I want to get fans' response on this.
Anthony's calling from Georgia. It's a great question about this resolution that now we have Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Let me tell you how important that is before we go to Than. As Majority Leader...
Well, let's get Anthony to answer his question.
Well, yeah, but as Majority Leader, let me just say that we'll go to Anthony on the purpose of it. He can really direct the caucus. This is very key.
Yeah.
Because he ultimately controls a lot of the purse strings for their campaigns. A lot of control there. But Anthony, go ahead with your question on the actual resolution itself.
Yes, the question is, what does a non-binding resolution actually accomplish?
Yeah, all right, so it's very important, actually, what it will accomplish. I'm going to go to Pham Bennett, who's the director of our governmental affairs, to explain it. Then I'm going to talk about what it means in the overall proceedings. But go ahead, Pham.
Yeah, this really matters, Jay, and it matters because there is a great temptation on the Senate side of Capitol Hill right now to ignore all of this, to sort of say, we're going to stay above the fray, we're not going to pay attention to the process, no matter how abusive it is, we're going to be the upper statesman. What this resolution, Jay, does is it gives the majority leader is telling his caucus, no, the process that's going on in the House right now does matter because it's fundamental to fair treatment of whether it's the president or anybody else that the House is going after, Jay, and that process will serve as the foundation for how we will consider this matter if it does indeed come to us. So, Jay, here's what it does. It gets senators focused on all of the problems that you and Jordan have been talking about right now. It doesn't let them off the hook by saying, we're just going to ignore this till it comes to it. It makes them take a look at what Chairman Schiff is doing and actually consider if that matters instead of simply ignoring it. I think it's very important.
No, I think it's more than symbolism. It's a message to the House of Representatives. Yep. That you are violating constitutional norms, constitutional process, the Constitution itself, the way you're conducting this inquiry. You're violating that in that sense, your oath of office to uphold the Constitution and enforce it. I think if we look at the constitutional issues being raised here, this becomes front and center. This is what I've been saying for a month. The entire process from beginning to end, a pattern and practice of irregularities. And now, did you know when I said that before, remember? The Mueller investigation. I think this ends up in the same ash heap of history, by the way, as the Mueller investigation. No one's talking about that one anymore. And that nonsense, except John Durham, who is not saying anything, but is certainly with news reports that are out there, and that's all I know. News reports out there, seems like this may have expanded a bit. So I think if you're, you know, some of these intelligence officials that thought setting up a president of the United States was a good idea, maybe not so much. Maybe there's a lot more than simply a leak of a piece of paper from an FBI director to a colleague to get it out to the press, to get to the appointment of a special counsel. Now you got an investigation of the investigators, which is exactly what's due here. Due process will be followed in that case. It's not being followed in the case involving this impeachment inquiry. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, or Twitter, or other social media platforms, of which I'm not naming all of them, I don't think, but or ACLJ.org. Share it with your friends right now. We got a lot of you watching. Radio, call your friends during the commercial breaks, too. Listen to the commercials, of course, but call your friends. Tell them to listen to the broadcast. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
Here's my prediction of what happens here. And listen, I could be wrong. I mean, these things are very much in play. I think what's going to happen is that the irregularities of this process are reaching now a magnitude where the Senate's saying, what are you doing in the House of Representatives? This is supposed to be your awesome constitutional responsibility, and you're making it like a joke. I mean, I look at this thing, this grade B direct mail piece, and this is actually Nancy Pelosi's office put this out as the impeachment document. I mean, this is an embarrassment to the country. But there it is. This document, truth exposed, is absurd. And it's like 2.5 pages. If you had real font, it would be a page and a half. It's ridiculous.
Cover pages, page one.
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's an embarrassment to the country that is the approach that they're taking. They're making direct mail pieces out of this stuff. Okay? That's number one. Number two, Adam Schiff should be disqualified from being the chairman of this. I think it's absolutely absurd. Number three, they are making a mockery out of the Constitution and due process. Number four, where's the whistleblower? Why is the person testifying at least to the committee at a minimum? Of course, we don't get to ask questions. We're only the president's lawyers. Or the White House counsel doesn't get to ask questions because they only represent the office of the president. So where is due process here? It doesn't exist. So yeah, the Senate now is going to put forward a resolution. That resolution is going to cause an issue. And that's going to say to the House of Representatives, you're playing with fire here. And I think politically it's very dangerous. And here's what happens. They keep investigating, and they're going to say they're going to keep investigating. And then they're going to get to, you know, January, February, and say, oh, there's more we got to investigate. But it is late. So what we're going to do is lay this at the feet of the American people, and the American people will decide. That's where I think this is going. Again, I could be wrong. Absolutely. But it seems to me, Harry, to have that vibe to it right now, that pacing.
I think so. There is a little counter pressure on Nancy Pelosi to actually allow this to go to a vote, in part because she doesn't want to fully disappoint the left-wing base within the Democratic Party. The left-wing base has been calling for President Trump's impeachment for over 3.5 years now. And many of those individuals were laughing at the prospect that President Trump could indeed be elected. But at bottom, this is simply an effort, a deliberate and intentional effort to overturn the results of the 2016 election. And it is part and parcel of an effort to criminalize the president's exercise of his Article II powers within the meaning of the Constitution. So for many Democrats, the Constitution doesn't really mean very much. It's all about power at the end of the day. But I think Jay is probably correct that at the end of the day, the Democrats will decline to pull the trigger.
Let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Bob, calling in from New York on line one. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Bob.
My question is, if they end up impeaching the president and then he gets reelected in 2020, can they impeach him again?
So could the House like bring articles of impeachment again? I mean, yeah, they could, but that you're assuming the House remains in Democrat control with enough Democrats that would support doing that again after he won reelection. Remember, you're assuming he wins reelection, so that kind of backfired on them, right? So why would they do that again? But let's say they did. There's no indication the Senate is going to flip in this election cycle. In fact, it looks like the Senate Republicans may make some gains, at least one or two. So Than, yeah, they could try it again if he wins re-election, but it would have already shown that it backfired. And I don't even think they have the guts to do it this time.
Yeah, I mean, the double jeopardy that the caller is referring to is for criminal charges. This is not a criminal proceeding. So, yes, a new Congress technically could, Jordan, but you're right. The political realities of it would be that they would not do so. And just to double down on your comment about the Senate, Jordan, the very most vulnerable seat in all of the Senate belongs to a Democrat. That's Doug Jones in Alabama. I really think you start with a baseline of 54 Republican seats in the United States Senate. So they would have to flip 5 seats to get outright control of the United States Senate. I don't see that happening, Jordan.
No. So, I mean, I think, again, there's the House can always bring articles of impeachment. But that is just like opening up it's like an indictment. And then the Senate has to convict. And if you have a Republican Senate who's standing with the president And now we know Mitch McConnell is the leader of the Senate, who can kind of corral the rest of the Republican senators for the most part of the caucus. Guess what? Your impeachment is going nowhere. I mean, this could certainly lead to, I don't want to put words in their mouth or speak for them, but a vote like this, as long as there's 51 or more Republicans on it, would indicate that there would be support for not even having a Senate trial on the impeachment articles, and that they would actually just vote on a motion to dismiss the articles of impeachment. And that vote just requires a majority vote. You don't need you need two-thirds to remove the president. You need only a majority vote, 51, to dismiss the articles of impeachment. So like a motion to dismiss, kind of like in a court proceeding, but the senators would be voting. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's grab one more phone call. Keep calling, folks. 1-800-684-3110. This is big news that Lindsey Graham announced this, but now he's got Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, signed on to this resolution. Big news. It sends a huge message to Democrats like Pelosi and Schiff and all those Democrat presidential candidates that wherever you're talking about impeachment, you're going to fail. So if you move that way, it's going to fail. And the reason why is because of you lied about it from the beginning. We probably would have had a trial in the Senate, but for Adam Schiff beginning the entire thing on a lie and the whistleblower not filling out the right paperwork, not indicating that they talked to Congress first, having this political bias, and now new allegations of more political bias yet to be told to us, but that's being uncovered as we speak, which is why Schiff doesn't even want the whistleblower, the person who was the impetus for this entire impeachment inquiry to begin by the House, to testify at all. Understand that. At all. Let's go back to the phones, though. Mark in Alabama, line 6. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes. The Democrats have said that they're holding the meetings in secret in order to prevent the witnesses from coordinating their testimony. But that's exactly what Adam Schiff has and those working with him have done by having the so-called whistleblower discuss with them before filing the report.
Of course. No, you're 100% correct. But listen, none of this is being done by accident. So I think what you have to understand here is the process that's being employed. And Harry, one of the things I think about when I think about process, we only got a minute here, is that is due process. What process is due? And let me tell you what, this process is not due process. This process is a mockery of our Constitution.
You're absolutely right. It's also a mockery of precedent with respect to prior impeachment inquiries. But essentially, the president is being denied due process, the ability to cross-examine witnesses, and the ability of the Republicans in Congress to cross-examine witnesses. So this is a very flawed, corrupt process, a process initiated by Nancy Pelosi. And for that reason, and that reason perhaps alone, there are at least 250,000 signatures on a petition to impeach Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, I tell you something. This is just, I think this is the tip of the iceberg. And now again, as we close the first half hour out, you've got the majority leader in the United States Senate, Mitch McConnell, and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, which the two most important for this proceeding, saying this isn't right. I think this is a very big development. Very big development. Sending a message to the House. Back with more in just a moment.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So if you're just joining us, let me tell you what's happened. Senator Lindsey Graham is going to be introducing a resolution condemning the House's lack of due process and lack of procedures in this impeachment inquiry, as they're calling it. He's going to be joined in that resolution by Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader. Now, Than, that points to a very important development, because now you've got the Majority Leader and the Chairman of the Judiciary Committee sending a message, and I'm convinced it passes the House of Representatives, to the Senate, and the message goes to the House saying, hey, that's not the way it works in the United States of America.
Yeah, I think it's an incredibly important message, and I think it's a pretty simple one, Jay. It's that a motion to dismiss in the United States Senate would have the support to pass. So it's saying to the United States House, look, we see what you're doing. We see this process. We see that it's illegitimate. And should you choose to send something over to us, this is how we're going to handle it. We're going to bring up a motion to dismiss, and that is going to be the end of it. So I think Jordan said it a couple of segments ago, Jay. This resolution, I really think, spells the end of it. It may take some time to play out, but it's signaling that a motion to dismiss would pass in the United States Senate.
You know, we have an interesting statement here from Jeanette on Facebook. She says, here we are 3 years later after the Mueller probe, and the left still refuses to accept that the president won the election. Newsflash, you have other duties to your job other than opposing a sitting president. But I think politically, Jordan, actually, they don't think they do, because they don't think they can win in the general election.
That's right. So they've kind of given away...
They view this as their job.
This is their job, is to obstruct this president at every ability. So no legislation. He can rely only on his executive power. When he does, they'll challenge it in court. They ultimately usually lose, so he's able to conduct, to the extent that executive power that he can, he has used. He's done it to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and move the embassy of the U.S. to Jerusalem. He's done it to defund $60 million from Planned Parenthood. He's done it on some of the border wall funding. You're not going to get major infrastructure done via executive action.
Yeah, I got an interesting tweet that or text messages. This came to me from a good friend of mine, Chris N, who was a senior official at the TSA. And he said that he was listening to the program with great interest. He said, my major concern after listening to all this is, if the Democrats are successful in what they're trying to do, what will this do to our legal system? What about ordinary citizens having due process? And Harry, while the process of the House doesn't necessarily impact the judiciary, although the judiciary may impact the House, I will say, because I said no options are off the table. It does raise an important issue, because it gets this kind of sentiment out there that due process isn't really that important to begin with.
Absolutely. And that is also fueled by many of the Democratic candidates for president who believe that they are entitled to take executive action and to basically take goods and services from law-abiding citizens. So I think it's very, very important that this effort be stopped now, dead in its tracks, because it's important for the text of the Constitution to be honored, but it's very important for the notion of due process to be honored. That notion is important because it actually goes back to our foundations as a Anglo-American republic.
Andy, I keep saying no options off the table. You don't make a determination on litigation as you see the situation develop, but they are running themselves into a buzzsaw of potential litigation.
Well, they are, and they should be. Look, right now, Congress is not doing its job. It is seeking to unseat the president, period, the end. That's what they started to do from the beginning. This country is being run on executive orders and on the opinions of judges. That's it. The Congress has abdicated its responsibility as a lawmaking body and is doing nothing but trying to unseat an incumbent president duly elected by the Electoral College and sworn in by the Chief Justice. That is reprehensible.
There's something I want to get into, and I know Than does too, in the next segment. And, you know, we're only 4 weeks out from another spending deadline, like the potential for a government shutdown. This is when Congress really has to act, at least to do something, or else you get into shutdown mode. And by the way, you get into shutdown mode, guess what shuts down? Impeachment inquiry. So Democrats are going to have to decide if they're going to work with the Republicans on getting legislation done to fund the government. That would usually be a huge story. 4 weeks away from a full government shutdown. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget thenextredwave.com in bookstores and purchase online, nextredwave.com.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Let's go ahead and take a call, Jordan. Let's go to line two.
Yeah, let's go to Kathy in Oregon on line two. Kathy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thank you for everything that the ACLJ has done to protect the Constitution. Yep. I really appreciate everything. I have three questions. Number one, since this is an unconstitutional due process, can the Republicans in the Congress take this to the courts? And also, can the American people bring it to the courts or make a petition to stop this clown show? And can the Senate call all of these who testified already in the skiff and also the whistleblower to testify in the Senate when this process goes to the Senate?
Okay, Kathy, you've asked three great questions. Regarding witnesses, it is up to the Senate, if there is a trial, to start calling witnesses, and they lay out a process. I've been reviewing some of those processes to see if they'll ever be witnesses. Again, I'm not so sure. I don't think it goes to that stage. But yes, I mean, witnesses could be called. It's interesting with the anonymous witness, the so-called whistleblower. I don't think Perry, personally do not think the whistleblower ever sees the light of day.
I think that's probably correct. The whistleblower is tainted in several ways. One, by undeniable political bias. And number two, the whistleblower had prior contact with Adam Schiff. And so any exploration of the whistleblower's credibility would indeed explore the extent of his contact with Adam Schiff and Adam Schiff's committee. And the one pertinent question would be, how much of your complaint was written by Adam Schiff?
Yeah. Andy, sitting over there like a Cheshire cat. Go
Just
ahead.
Just give me 5 minutes with that whistleblower on cross-examination, please. That's all I want is 5 minutes with him.
Remember, I had a Supreme Court argument on campaign finance. I think the clerk of the court said to me, how long do you need to argue your section? I said, I don't know, 15 minutes. He said, could you do it in 10? I said, yeah, I could do it in 10. So I said, anyway, we won 9-0. It worked out pretty well. Then where is the – you're looking at the process right now, and I want Jordan's opinion on this too. But look at the process right now, and the Republicans, you know, basically went in yesterday and saying, we want to see this stuff. And, of course, the majority, Schiff said no to the move to try to get in there. I mean, this hide-and-seek is really unprecedented. Dangerous, too.
Well, first of all, I've got bad news for Andy. Cross-examination in this case, Jay, just simply not allowed. We can't have that. I mean, last night, Jay, the number two in the House, the Republican whip, Steve Scalise, tried to actually participate in these proceedings, and he was blocked out. Adam Schiff stopped the hearing, took the witness out of the room, because even the number two Republican in the House apparently is not allowed, not even to cross-examine, Jay, just to participate in the process. So I think that's where we're at. But quite frankly, Jay, I think what you played during the break from Lindsey Graham, Graham is really the key takeaway from today. He actually committed to introducing this motion to dismiss. And I think Majority Leader McConnell's presence on the resolution that he's introducing today tells us, Jay, that there will be the votes in the Senate, if it gets there, for that motion to dismiss that the senator would introduce to pass. So I think we already know the end game, Jay. It's just a matter of how long does it take to get there.
Yeah, I think this is it's a very interesting situation, and I think it will send, I do think it sends a strong message, Jordan, to the other political body here that's in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, and it's why you get headlines now like this, which is what you've been saying for a long time, but now it's in the headlines, which means Democrats are starting to leak it out. Could Pelosi abandon impeachment effort? Question mark. Why would she want to do that? Well, one is because she would fail the vote. Two is because if she could get the vote, guess who gets control of the impeachment? Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, who are going to have a resolution that says, we don't care what you send us. You started this off with lies and you kept Adam Schiff in power. And because of your process, we're going to move forward and just dismiss all of this. So will Nancy Pelosi just kind of let this fizzle out? It fizzled out. Remember, with Judiciary Committee, you don't hear anything from Jerry Nadler. It fizzled out again with Russia, Mueller. It fizzled out with collusion, conspiracy. It fizzled out with obstruction. Now it's Ukraine. The whistleblower is fizzling out. Adam Schiff is lying. Republicans aren't getting. There's no due process for Republican members of Congress, even who are duly elected officials that represent the American people. So is Pelosi just going to let it fizzle and then say, "Well, voters can decide"?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think is going to happen. Again, that's my prediction. I've been saying this for about a month.
Makes him look very weak.
Yeah, but I will tell you this, though. This is what is very interesting. A former prosecutor on who said, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or an MIT professor to know that they didn't do a vote because they didn't want to have Democratic House members stand up in districts that were against it and have to vote for. In other words, they didn't have the vote, Andy, because they didn't have the votes.
Yeah, I've said that time and time again. Nancy Pelosi may be over the hill in terms of she needs to not be the speaker anymore, but she still knows how to count votes, and she realizes that in those districts that the president carried the last time, those people are going to have to get up and say yes for impeachment and lose their reelection. That's not going to happen. She knows she doesn't have the votes, or we wouldn't have an impeachment inquiry. We'd have articles of impeachment. We'd have a judiciary committee just like it was in the days of Nixon and Peter Rodino. I remember that, where everybody said reluctantly, it's time to go, Mr. President. That's not the case today.
You know, I will tell you this. I think this is the reality of what we've got, Harry. And we got to grab a call here. But I think that the process is now so tainted that there's no getting it back.
I think that is correct. But I think Nancy Pelosi has no one to blame but herself. She personally selected Adam Schiff. That was a huge mistake. I think it's always a mistake to select Adam Schiff for anything. That's number one. Number two, she has not been well served by her other chairman, for instance, Jerry Nadler, who had Corey Lewandowski appear publicly before his committee, and that blew up in his face. Jerry Nadler did a horrific job in interviewing and questioning Robert Mueller. Essentially, the Democrats consistently overpromise and underdeliver, and that perhaps should be the new name for the Democratic Party.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Get your calls in by, there's a number of ways to get in, Facebook and Periscope as well. We take some of those calls also. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Taylor in Wisconsin on line 4. Taylor, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Taylor.
Hey, Jay, how you doing? God
Good.
Bless you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for your diligence. Yep. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Pray for you guys daily.
Thank you.
Real quickly, half commentary, half question.
Okay.
We all know this is a big game of I'm going to get you. We
right.
know that. We're dealing with a spirit of Cain, in my opinion. Envy, jealousy of productivity. If we know the story of Cain and Abel, and I really believe that's what the heart of it. But anyway, my question is, why can't we seem to establish a difference, you know, between allegation, quote, and false testimony, malicious libel, malicious defamation, malicious slander?
Because here's the reason why, Taylor, because they say whatever they want with impunity. with no consequence right then. I mean, they'd say it with impunity and there's no consequence. Now, I think there will be a consequence. I think there'll be ballot box consequences. I think the Senate is giving you a consequence when this resolution passes. So there are consequences and they're making a mockery of the Constitution.
Well, look, when there's only one side presented, whether it's in a courtroom or a United States Congress committee room, of course it's going to come out sounding one-sided because only one side presented their case. Jay, we've said this so many times on this broadcast, though, but the beautiful thing about this process is the ultimate power still does reside with the American voters. And so, you know, I know people want people to be held accountable in a court of law, and I do think that will be appropriate at certain times. But ultimately, every one member of Congress, House or Senate, Jay, they've got to go back to the American people and ask them to vote for them again. So I think their actions during this period of time, I think that should have a direct bearing on whether or not their voters reelect
them. You know what's been unique to me? For the past 2 or 3 weeks, the media's loved this story that the White House is in disarray. Trump doesn't know how to deal with impeachment. They don't know what their plan is. Republicans don't know what to do. And then boom, Lindsey Graham comes out with a resolution. And then boom, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, not necessarily the most extreme actor in politics, says, I'm going to sign on to this, too, to quash this impeachment if it comes to us. I mean, so for all those liberal reporters out there, you were reporting wrong information for weeks. You just didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. Because unlike the Democrats like Adam Schiff, who love to leak things out that benefit them, Republicans wait until they know they've got the bomb to drop. And then they drop it. And this was a big bomb that dropped today on Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and this entire bogus, phony, faux impeachment with a fake whistleblower that all began with lying, shifty Adam Schiff, who all Republicans on his committee have not just said he should recuse himself from this, but have said he should step down as chair forever of the House Intelligence Committee.
All right, we're coming to the last segment of the broadcast. We take your calls, so we've got one or two lines open for you at 800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget also, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You can do that at aclj.org. Also, follow us on social media, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. Like our Facebook pages. I've got a page. ACLJ has a page. Jordan has a page. I think Than has a page. Don't you, Than? Is yours public?
Wait, I do.
He does. Like Than's page. He needs to be liked. We encourage you to do that. We want you to like Than. All right. So, anyways, do that. We encourage you to do that. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And don't forget, if you want to talk to us on air, phone lines are open now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
So we did not report on what happened yesterday when GOP lawmakers, according to a headline here, stormed the hearings on impeachment, protest over closed-door nature of House inquiry, which ended up delaying the testimony. But let me tell you what Steve Scalise had to say, Congressman Scalise. Scalise, take a listen.
Today, dozens of my colleagues and I went into the hearing room where Adam Schiff has been conducting, behind closed doors, a secret impeachment inquiry on the President of the United States. This is a process that we've been highly critical of, the fact that it's closed to the public, the fact that members of Congress that aren't on the relevant committees don't even have access to the transcripts of the hearings. Maybe they do that in the Soviet Union, but that's not acceptable in the United States of America.
You know, we've heard the reference, Andy, to star chambers, to, you know, basically that this is a star chamber, that this is a secret proceeding. Let's define for everybody what star chamber
is. This goes back to Tudor England. This goes back to the 16th century in England. And the star chamber was a chamber closed with stars, literally, on the walls. You didn't know what your accusations were. They told you at the time. You didn't know who your accuser was. They told you at the time. You didn't have the right to cross-examine your accuser. You know, you were presumed to be guilty before you even had an opportunity to say that you were innocent and to bring witnesses. And it was the room itself was a chamber with stars. And this was the horrendous situation that existed in Tudor England, which is a stain on English justice. And that's what we don't want to happen in the United States. That's why our Constitution has public and open trials. Okay, you can't lock a courtroom down under any circumstances. The public is entitled to go in. We don't have star chambers. That is a vestige of a time under English common law that is reprehensible, and we don't want it ever reproduced again, Adam Schiff.
So, okay, so Harry, I look at the procedures that have been implemented in the Schiff investigation. That's, by the way, we should just start calling it that. Why call it an impeachment inquiry? Just call it the Schiff investigation, like the Mueller investigation. This is the Schiff investigation. He thinks he's not like a special counsel or something, because they're certainly not following rules of due process, nor did, in my view, Bob Mueller. But I look at the situation. We just mentioned the star chamber. And if you look at what's actually happening here, it's reminiscent of that lack of due process.
Absolutely. And so most recently, the star chamber process has been used for political purposes by the Bolsheviks in the Soviet Union. No due process, no ability to cross-examine witnesses. The verdict has already been predetermined, and essentially the members of the Star Chamber want one thing only, an admission of guilt by all witnesses, whether that is true or not. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, if you look at some of the testimony that has been leaked, well, we find that Adam Schiff has actually intervened when and if he failed to receive the answer he was looking for in the first place. So what we have is a corrupt process that the American people should reject.
All right, so Than, but that is a process. You've worked on the Hill for over 20 years, but that's the process that's being implemented. I mean, that is the process.
A lot of what Harry and Andy just talked about, it played out last night, Jay. I mean, you talked about Steve Scalise, who, by the way, I mean, you know this, but just so our listeners know, he is the number two Republican in the House. He's not someone who was, you know, elected last week and just showed up on Capitol Hill. He is the number two ranking Republican in the House of Representatives. He went over to where these depositions were taking place and tried to participate in the process along with dozens of other Republicans. Jay, they stopped the hearings. They stopped letting the witness who was giving a deposition from testifying. Adam Schiff stood up, took the witness, escorted her out of the room, and they quit the proceeding for a matter of hours. So, you know, Andy and Harry are talking about a process where only a certain outcome is permitted and the other side is not permitted to participate. Jay, that happened last night in the United States House of Representatives.
Yeah, Wall Street Journal editorial last night put out a great editorial, so it ran in today's paper. It's called Schiff's Secret Bombshells if the testimony is so damning for Trump, why not make it public? I love their first paragraph. Bombshell. The walls are closing in. Donald Trump's defense has collapsed. The quid pro quo has been proven. The case for impeachment is obvious, and the only question remaining is whether the Republicans will finally do their duty and vote to out this disgraceful president.
No, the only question is start an impeachment proceeding if you think you got the votes.
None of the information has been released to the Republicans or the American people.
Because they don't have the votes.
So unlike the Schiff secret bombshells, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell today, they don't play in secret. They dropped real bombshells on the Senate, on the House impeachment bogus inquiry. And that's the difference between Republicans and Democrats.
All right, let's go ahead and take a call.
Okay. Eileen in South Carolina on line three. Eileen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say two things, really. I'm excited that President Trump, in his way, asked for help. The other day, he asked the Republicans to help stand up, and that was his way of asking. Congress did it yesterday. The Senate's doing it today.
Yes.
That's important. He can't do it alone. So I'm excited that they heed his call.
No, I think I think you're right. I think it's great that the president has pointed out what's wrong with this case and then lays out, I think, in a pretty very eloquent way, that the lack of due process. We've tried to do that as well in our media appearances and and of course, I think the White House did it very, very well when Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel, issued that great, great letter. I think that really set the mark. But I think you also got to be aware that this is a fully political process with political application, and right now it's a political charade. Let's take the last call.
Arnold in California, line five. You're the final call of the day on Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, I'm so glad I got on. Thank you for all the coverage. Sure. Fantastic. I have a statement to make that I think I would love to get your opinion on. Sure. Here's what it is. I think Nancy Pelosi is very smart, and she knows what's going on.
Yep.
Everything prior has failed to stick to Trump. So what she's doing, I believe, is she picked Adam Schiff to be the dupe, to be the fall guy, actually. She picked him because she knew he would do all of these things illegally, wrong, because he's a liar and he's not really a good guy. And what she's hoping for is to manufacture an obstruction, not of justice, an obstruction of impeachment against the Republicans and ride that story all the way. And all she needs
from a political election standpoint, in other words, do you create, which is, it's a similar to what I'm saying when I say, hey, I think they're just going to continue the investigation, say we're just going to let the American people decide because it's already March and we've still got more investigating to do and we're only 6 months out from an election.
How much damage could they inflict on the president? And I think that they're reaching a point where they're saying it's backfiring on us. We may need to start holding back. And then maybe you're right. They start bringing it back to the forefront as we get closer to Election Day because people are going to start tuning out quickly from this. We got, it's holiday season is approaching very quickly. The new year is approaching very quickly. And this impeachment, which was supposed to, remember, was going to happen like in weeks.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Totally stalled out. Adam Schiff is randomly leaking things out. And the Republicans who are also in those hearings are saying, what he's leaking out is only half the story. He's not leaking out the part that the guy says, well, everything I just told you is based on something I heard from someone else.
Yeah.
Minor
part, Andy, the hearsay on hearsay.
Shells, you know?
The hearsay on hearsay part.
Wouldn't be admissible in court.
That's for sure. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Stay engaged with us on our social media platforms on Facebook, Periscope, Instagram, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ, at Than Bennett, I'm guessing. And also, I like those Facebook pages as well. That's going to do it for the broadcast, but do stay engaged with us. Jordan's very active on Twitter. It's a good way to stay up to date on issues that develop. We're going to have some reports coming up in the days ahead about give you some updates in the next couple of days, certainly next week on this trial with Planned Parenthood going very well for our side.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.